God's blessed today, and I'm thankful. How about you? Amen. All right. We're going to start out with peace today, which is always a good thing. But, you know, sometimes we need to realize we have to give context to peace, okay? And the context to peace as we know it is there's a great controversy. Amen? Okay? And the great controversy is really over truth, okay? So kind of keep that in mind. What gives us peace in this world, okay? Now, God gives many kinds of peace, okay? So let's now think of it from that point of view, and we'll learn quite a bit this morning from God's Word. All right. I thank Jim for reading our gospel reading. And we're going to real quick read a paragraph from Desire of Ages, and then I'm going to have another quick prayer. This is Desire of Ages, page 302, for those that like to write down the references. Blessed are the peacemakers. The peace of Christ is born of truth. What's it born of? What is it? Truth. Okay, there we go. Truth is a component of peace. Ellen White said so, and we need to understand that aspect of peace, okay? So, part of peace is born of, what's the word? Truth. Amen. It is harmony with God. Amen. The world is at enmity with the law of God. Sinners are at enmity with their Maker, and as a result, they are at enmity with one another. The psalmist declares, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Amen. That's Psalm 119, 165. Men cannot manufacture peace. Human plans for the purification and uplifting of individuals or of society will fail of producing peace. Because, we need to note this, because they do not reach the heart. So a peacemaker is almost like a heart pacemaker. Okay? Kind of think about that. To continue the reading. The only power that can create or perpetuate true peace is the grace of God. Grace of Christ. When this is implanted in the heart, it will cast out the evil passions that cause strife and dissension. And it closes with a quote from Isaiah 55, 13 and 35, 1. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And life's desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Amen. Let's have another little word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the King of Peace, and that's Jesus. We thank you for the Spirit of Peace, and that's your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your truth of peace. And may your will work its divine providence in our own hearts, in our own minds, and our own souls, that we may be the peacemakers you want us to be today. And we look forward to that great peace that we'll have in heaven when we all join in the New Jerusalem on that sea of glass to sing praises and worship and adoration to you. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Okay. Now, but the reading there in Spirit of Prophecy warns us that there can be no manufactured peace by men, okay? And one of the Bible verses that echoes that quite clearly is the one from 1 Thessalonians 5:3. And we know this one by heart, I'm pretty sure. For when they say, can you finish it for me? Peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's very important that we understand And as peacemakers, we share what true peace is all about and true safety is all about. So that's this great controversy. We are now embroiled in a conflict on who gets to speak for God, okay? The people of God get to speak for God, not the people who are not with God gets to speak for God. So there's a difference. Next place we're going to go to is in Hebrews 7, verse 2. Now, we need to understand, now, who knows what Salem means? Peace, exactly. So when we read this next scripture verse, we have an alliteration. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpreted king of righteousness, right? That's King Melchizedek. And after that, also the king of Salem, which is the king of, what's the word? Peace. Amen. We serve the king of peace. And Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment as a Melchizedek priest. Amen. In this controversy that started between God and Lucifer, a difference of opinion arose, okay? And that caused sin to come into a birth, okay? Jesus refers to Satan as the father of lies. So we have to understand peace is disturbed by, peace of truth is disturbed by non-truth or, what's the word? Lies. Part of our job is in love, in grace, and mercy, educate people from the lie to the truth. That's what peacemakers do. They educate from a lie to the truth. And always remember that. We always have that ministry of educating from a lie to the truth. And that's what makes us a peacemaker. Now, it's kind of interesting. If you go in the Old Testament, there were quite a few references to peace offerings. Okay? What will restore peace? If we restore truth, will that generate peace? Well, if you make peace, okay? All right? We make peace by removing the lie. So in order to generate, to restore peace, we also have to restore truth. Amen? Are we not the repairers of the breach? Right? Part of our ministry, always and forever, on this fallen earth, is to educate people from a lie to the truth. Okay? That's what a peacemaker does. Now, in the Old Testament, there was oblations or sacrifices of peace offering. In Leviticus 3:1, it says, "And his oblation will be a sacrifice of peace offering. And he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord." Now, that peace offering is who? Jesus. Amen. Jesus stands between us to make peace. And we're going to make Jesus' peace. Amen? Which means we're going to share Jesus' truth because that's what will make peace. Because it's a lie that causes a problem in sin. Now, we're going to go to Malachi 2:7 real quick, the last book of the Old Testament, just before Matthew. Malachi 2:7, or 2:5, excuse me, 2:5. It says, "My covenant." We always remember that God wants to make an end to the great controversy. He wants to make an end to sin. So his covenant, his agreement with us, his bargain with us, his contract with us is, and follow along real carefully with me here, my covenant was with him of life and, what's that word? Peace. And I gave them to him for fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now, sooner or later, everybody's going to respect God. Amen? Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. Okay. Problem is, we want to be on the right side of every knee bowing and every tongue confessing. Because we want to confess forever, amen? Okay. Let's turn to James chapter 3, and we're heading toward verse 17. James. There we go. Before Peter's and John's. There we go. James. Chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Now, this kind of sets a context here of how to go about being a peacemaker. But the wisdom that is from above is first, what's the word? Pure. Then it's, what's that next word? Peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated is sometimes we have to be available when we're sharing truth that we should be also available to be asked questions of. What do you mean when you say Sabbath? What do you mean when you say this is truth? Okay? So when you're studying with someone or you're having a light evangelistic conversation with someone, it may help the conversation saying, let me know if I say something you don't understand. Okay? So you want to be entreatable. Okay? Now, I'll tell you the same thing I told people early in my ministry. If I don't have an answer, I know where to find it. Okay? Just because they ask a question you don't know doesn't mean we don't know it. Okay? And that's what the body of Christ is for. Edification. All right? Edification, how to make peace. All right. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. I'll witness to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and especially when they ask. Amen? And you got to know that truth to witness to it. Amen? And when that truth is in your heart, it gives you peace because you are ready to give an answer for your hope. Amen? And the fruit of righteousness, this is the next verse. This is really interesting. The fruit of righteousness. Okay, Jesus says, by their fruit ye shall what? Know them. Okay, all right. By the fruit of righteousness. That means the works of righteousness, by the way. There's nothing wrong with doing the right thing. Amen? Is sown in, what's that word? Peace of them that make what? Peace. Aha! We have the purpose of the gospel. Truth sown in righteousness to make peace. Amen? It's the gospel. You ever been accused of, well, Adventists don't have the gospel? Oh, we most certainly do. We have the truth in peace, and that's the gospel. Amen? Okay, now one thing we have to remember about the gospel is gospel is the restitution of all things. It says so in Acts 3 something. We need to be always remembering that we're not going forward. We're going back to the peace and harmony that was in heaven in Eden. Amen? That's restitution. And the Bible says all things. Amen? All right. We're now going to turn to our scripture reading. Well, let's go to Matthew 5. There we go, Matthew 5. And we're going to start with our scripture reading, verse 9. Now, this word blessed, it has several meanings. One could be happy. One could be joyful. One could be blessed. There are several words that can go in there that fit the meaning and intent of the Greek word. Blessed are the, and who are they? They are the peacemakers. They shall be called what? Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I love it when Jesus refers to us as brethren. Amen. The angels refer to us as brethren. Amen. Because we have the truth and we have the Spirit of God. Amen. But you know, this may come at a cost to us. We always have to remember that the world's in conflict because of, not because of the peace, but because of sin. Blessed are they which are, what's that word? Persecuted, right? Persecuted for what sake? Righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, amen? It's a war. It is most certainly a war, and we're going to suffer in this war for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye which men, what's that word? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Okay, now, I don't know about you, but there are a few times I've been point blank told my face, that's not the truth, right? Have you ever ran into that? That's not the truth? You tell them that Sabbath is on the seventh day and Jesus kept it. Well, how many times? Okay, let me put it this way. Now, let me kind of back away from the message for just a minute. One of the things I do is I'm an online apologist for Seventh-day Adventist doctrines. That means I go on the internet, I log into a website, and I actually defend what we believe. That is an interesting ministry because there's plenty of former Adventists out there that have left our ranks that will turn around and look back at the church and say, that's a lie, that's not truth. But we as Adventists who are faithful in the righteousness of peace got to have that truth ready for them. Amen? Okay, revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And this happens to my face online, by the way, is they'll write comments saying, none of you what you said is, there's no truth to it. And sometimes I even get asked, where is that in the Bible? Of course. Always have a reason for your hope. Amen? Now we're going to get into something that's very important here. There's a difference between peacekeeper and peacemaker. Okay? We make peace with the truth. Now, when we say we had sent peacekeeping forces over to Kosovo, okay? How are we keeping peace over there? Huh? By force. Okay? We're keeping peace by force. Did God ever have to keep peace by force? Yes or no? Really? God never had to keep peace by force. Okay, let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Huh? Well, no, hey, you got to have your answers, right? You just said, I didn't know what I was talking about. Now, by the way, I'm not offended with that. It gives me an opportunity to make peace with what? I make peace with truth. Amen. Whenever someone challenges to say that that's a lie, you have the perfect opportunity in love to tell them the truth. Amen? All right. And some of you already know where I'm going with this. All right. Okay, 12. Now let's start at verse 1 real quick. And there shall appear a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. By the way, that's the Old Testament. And upon her head was a crown of 12 stars, and being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared an under a great wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew a third of the stars out of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the child, before the woman would be ready to be delivered, to devour her as soon as she was born. Okay, let's see. Where is my... Oh, there's my war. Okay. And she brought forth a man-child. Who's the man-child? Jesus, amen. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Okay, that's the church. Where she had a place prepared of God that she should feed her there 1,260 days. There's some really interesting stuff here, but I'm getting down to my war here. And there was what? Where? Okay. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against who? And his angels, yes. And the dragon fought and his angels. And they prevailed not. They did not win. Amen? God won. Truth won. Peace won. But neither was their place found any more in heaven. Did they get kicked out? They most certainly did. God had to be a peacekeeper to force anything that was not in harmony with truth out of heaven. Remember that. Sometimes we have to be a peacekeeper. And I'll just give you an example of one of the things, one of our churches in our district in Illinois Conference had to deal with Shepherd's Rod. At that point, the congregation was forced of being either a peacekeeper or a peacemaker. What do you think they tried first? Huh? No, they tried peacemaking first because they tried to reconcile their brothers and sisters with truth. Okay, that's the most loving thing you can do. But when those brothers and sisters refused the truth, then what did they had become? Had become peacekeepers. Church discipline has a purpose, okay? But just stay true to the truth, amen? Okay. We're going to reemphasize a few things here. We're going to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:2. There we go. 1:2. Now, notice that peace is always with something else, right? Peace is a byproduct, and it's composed of many different parts. And this part of peace here is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. What goes with peace in this verse? What is it? Grace. Amen. We've got to have grace with our brothers and sisters. They may be in error, and I mean my brothers and sisters outside of the church. Because one day God will call to them, come out of her, my people. Amen? So always remember that there are God's people in every denomination. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And now here's how it happens. This is how grace and peace happens. Through, right? Through, and then that's the mechanism that it works. It works through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen? You know me, you know the Father, Jesus says, right? The knowledge of God, and by the way, the Holy Spirit's also known as the Spirit of truth, right? According to his divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue. Amen? We're called to go up higher, not lower. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious what? Promises. Amen. I want you to understand that part of our ministry should always be remembering promises to share with other people. Amen? That's the truth. That by these you may be partakers of the what? Divine nature. Do you know it is your privilege to go to God and ask to be changed into the image of Jesus? Amen? The image of Jesus. Having escaped, what's that word? Escaped what? corruption that is in the world through lust. I tell you what, one of the most horrible things about this great controversy is the lies that people who say they love God have told about God. Amen? That's part of the corruption that we're dealing with. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Now, this is how peace works, okay? All right, we want to know, we want to wrap our mind and our heart and our soul around how peace works, okay? Because when we get done here, we should leave with more peace, not less peace, amen? Okay. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, and I like to think that if I chose God, God chose me. Amen? That's what election's all about. We choose God, and He in turn chooses us. Amen? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So when we're in this business of peace, sometimes we're going to have to forgive a history. Amen? There's no room for grudges. There's no rooms for hard feelings. There's no room for any of the trash of sin. Amen? And we have to kick it out. Clean it out. Get rid of it. By the way, another message, which if I get the privilege of coming back here, is about what God wants to cleanse out of us. Okay? And above all these things, put on, what's charity? What does charity mean? Huh? Well, yeah, it's love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a love chapter, and it talks about charity through there. As our love, first above all these things, put on love. Now that's your motive. And you know what? Sometimes I'm not the most loving individual. Guess what I get to do? I get to go to God in prayer and ask God for a refill on love. Amen? And for some people, we need a refill every day. Now, notice what Paul puts here. Okay, all these things, put on love. Which is the bond of what? Perfection. Perfectionist. And right here, here we go. Let the what? Peace of God. Woohoo! You got to be excited about peace, amen? You got to be excited about truth because we are God's people, amen? This thing doesn't like my ear. Let the peace of God rule where? In our hearts. Amen. That's where it starts. That's where it finishes. That's the kingdom of God. To which ye are called in how many bodies? One. And be ye, what's that good word there? Be ye what? Thankful. Remember how I started the message today? God is blessed and I am thankful. Amen? I hope people will say, I like so-and-so, but they're an awful thankful person. Amen? Right? I thank people. I thank God. I say, praise the Lord. Don't be shy. That's my testimony. Praise the Lord. Amen? And you know what? Jesus said it's our words that will either condemn us or justify us of whether we have God's Spirit in us and God's truth in us. Amen? Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonitioning. Oh boy, wow. King James got it. I can say admonition. It means the same thing. one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with what in your heart? Grace in your heart. Wow. And that is God's power to make it happen. Amen. Okay, we're going to jump chapters. Go one back to Philippians chapter 4, starting verse 5. And you know, we need to understand that sometimes extremes are bad, moderation's good. Okay, let me make that statement real quick. Let your moderation be known to all men. Amen. The Lord is at hand. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what two things? Or three things? Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Is that not why we pray in every service? Amen. We thank God. We give Him our supplications, and we pray for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Okay. Let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. We ask and He gives. And what does He give? And the what? And the peace of God, which passes how much understanding? All understanding. Keep your hearts. Now that's not just my heart. Hearts, plural. Your heart, my heart. The people we share the truth with, their hearts. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, what is it? Now, this is what makes, this is part of the things of God. Ready? Whatever things are, what's that word? Whatever things are, what's the next one? Honest. Whatever things are, just. Whatever things are, pure, whatever things are, good report. And if there be any virtue, any praise, think on those things. Amen. Those things which you both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do, and who? I'm in verse 9. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, okay? And the who? The God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Right? Amen. I want the God of peace. Amen? We're going to close with Jesus. So let's go to John. Right? Start with Jesus, end with Jesus. That's the way it works, right? I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's what Alpha and Omega means. You start with Jesus, Alpha, and you end with Jesus, Omega. Okay? That's what that means in Greek. So, because what we are is we, now, sometimes when I'm debating other people, I say, I'm a truth presenter. Okay? I am not responsible for the truth. Okay? What I mean is, I don't generate the truth. I don't make the truth. I don't even say it's truth. I'm not responsible for that. But what I am responsible for is to be the best truth presenter for God. Amen? And all of you can be that truth presenter. Amen? We're all evangelists. We're all witnesses of God's peace. Amen? And we can share that. And it doesn't matter how much or how little you have, just share what you have. Okay, John 14, we're going to start in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Now that's the one great thing about Jesus. He always gives you what you need, amen? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto who? You, every one of you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I like that kind of peace. Amen? Let's turn two chapters over to 16. Starting in verse 33. And I'm going to continue into 17, just to warn you. Even though they put a chapter break there, I didn't. The scriptures does not have chapter breaks or verse breaks. So I thematically, these went together. So this is what I'm going to share with you. These things I have spoken unto you. And who's speaking here? Jesus. Okay. Not my words, but thy words. These things I have spoken unto you that ye might have what? Peace. If you have Jesus' words, you have peace. Amen? We should always be ready for the answer of peace in our hearts. In the world, ye'll have, what's that word? Tribulation. That's conflict. We are in conflict with lies. We are in conflict with lust. We're in conflict with every kind of sin you can think of. But we, who understand the terror of the Lord, will still go out there and give Bible studies and persuade people, witness to people of God's peace. Amen? And that's with truth. Be of good cheer. Jesus understands this will happen. And he says, I have overcome the world, which means anytime you need help, you're going to be instant in prayer in the back of your mind if you have to. Jesus, help me. Amen? That's good Bible study. You'll be surprised what you say after you say, Jesus, help me. These words spoke Jesus, lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hours come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And we're going to jump to John 20, 21 as the last scripture for today. 20, 21. There we go. After Jesus filled them with truth and grace and love and mercy and forgiveness, those 3.5 years, right? Then said Jesus to them, what's that first word? Peace be unto you as my Father has sent me. Guess what? And what? Even so send I you. Amen? Jesus is not the only one with this message. We have this message, amen? And we are the child of the King of Peace. Now I'm going to read you another small excerpt from God's Amazing Grace. And then we'll get ready to sing our closing song, A Child of the King. This is God's Amazing Grace, page 320. Christ followers are sent to the world with the message of, can anybody guess the word? Peace. Amen, peace. Because peace have all kinds of components in it. Whoever by the quiet, unconscious influence of a holy life shall reveal the love of God. Whoever by word or deed shall lead another to renounce sin and yield his heart to God is a what? Peacemaker. Amen. Amen. That is our new job title from Jesus is to be a peacemaker. So let's turn in our hymnal to number 468 and sing together A Child of the King.